দ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ জয় জয় গুরু দেবে আরতি উজ্জ্বল শিবা জয় আর গোবর্ধন পাদ পিঠে ভুবন মঙ্গল ভক্তি সুন্দর দেব প্রভু শিরমানি ভক্তি সুন্দর দেব প্রভু শিরমানি আর গোস্বামী গোবিন্দ জয় আনন্দে রখনি গোস্বামী গোবিন্দ জয় আসি ভক্তি সুন্দর দেব প্রভু শিরমানি ভক্তি সুন্দর দেব আর গোস্বামী গোবিন্দ জয় আনন্দে রখনি গোস্বামী জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জানু লম্বিত ভুজ দীপ কলে বার জানু লম্বিত আর অনন্ত প্রতিভা ভরা দীপ গুণ ধর অনন্ত প্রতিভা গৌর কৃষ্ণ জানি তব অভিন্ন স্বরূপ গৌর কৃষ্ণ ইবা গৌর কৃষ্ণ জানি তব গৌর আর সংসার তারিতে এবে শুদ্ধ ভক্ত রূপ সংসার তারিতে কিবা রূপানুগ ধারা তুমি কর আলোকিত রূপানুগধারা তুমি আর প্রভাকর শ্যাম প্রভা ভুবন বিদিত প্রভাকর শুদ্ধ ভক্তি প্রচারিতে তোমা সমনাই শুদ্ধ ভক্তি প্রচারিতে আর কলঙ্ক ইন্দু যেন দয়াল নিতাই উল্লসিত বিশ্ববাসী লভে প্রেম ধন লসিত বিশ্ববাসী লভে প্রেম আর আনন্দে নাচিয়া গাহে তব গুণ গান আনন্দে নাচিয়া গাহে তব গুণ গান আনন্দে নাচিয়া গাহে জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব 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 জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব স্থাপিলা আশ্রম বহু জগত মাঝারে স্থাপিলা আশ্রম আর পারমহংস ধর্ম জ্ঞান শিখর প্রচারে কিবা চিন্তা চিন্ত বেদ জ্ঞানে তুমি অধিকারী সকল সংশয়তা সিদ্ধান্ত ধারি সকল তোমার মহিমা গাহে গোলক মণ্ডলে তোমার কিবা তোমার মহিমা গাহে তোমার মহিমা গাহে গুণমণ্ডল আর নিত্য সিদ্ধ করি করে তব লীলা স্থলে জয় গুরুদেব 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 পতি তো পাবনা তুমি দয়ার সমীর পতি সর্বকাজ শুনে পুনা সত্য সুগম ভীরা সর্ব অপর বলে খনি ধারা প্রগাঢ় পাণ্ডিত অপর বলে আর সদা হাস্যমিষ্ট ভাষী সুশীল কবিত কিবা সাধু সঙ্গে সদানন্দে সরল বিনয় আর সভা মধ্যে বক্তা শ্রেষ্ঠ সর্বত্র বিজয়ী সভা কিবা গৌরী গগনে তুমি আচার্য ভাস্কর গৌরী গগনে তুমি আচার্য ভাস্কর গৌরী গগনে তুমি আচার্য ভাস্কর গৌরী আর নিরন্তর সেবা প্রিয় নিষ্ঠ কণ্ঠ সার নিরন্তর সেবা তোমার করুণা মাগে ত্রিকাল বিলাসে তোমার করুণ গঙ্গার বেকাগিরি ধারি সেবা মাত্র আসে গঙ্গার বেকাগিরি কৃপা কর হে প্রভু শ্রী গৌর প্রকাশ কৃপা কর হে প্রভু শ্রী গৌর আরতি কর এ সদা হে অধম দাস কৃপা কর হে প্রভু শ্রী গৌর প্রকাশ কর হে প্রভু শ্রী গৌর আরতি কর এ সদা হে অধম দাস প্রভু এইবার আমায় দয়া কর এইবার আমায় পতিত পাবন শ্রী গুরুদেব এইবার আমায় দয়া কর পতিত পাবন আমায় অধম পতিত জেনে এইবার আমায় দয়া কর ক্ষম পতিত জেনে বার আমায় দয়া মায় সেবায় অধিক আর দিয়া এইবার আমায় দয়া কর অধিক আর দিয়া বার আমায় দয়া হরি বল হরি হরি বল হরি বল অনিতাই গৌর হরি বল হরি বল হরি বল চিন্তাই কর হরি বল হরি বল হরি বল হরি বল জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব জয় গুরুদেব পরিব্রাজক আচার্য বরজাষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী জগৎগুরু শ্রী শ্রীমান ভক্তি সুন্দর গোবিন্দ দেব গোস্বামী মহারাজ কি জয়, তদীয় শুভ আবির্ভাব তিথি মহা মহোৎসব কি জয়, তদীয় সন্ধ্যা আরতি কি জয়, জয় ওং বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজক আচার্য বরজাষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রী শ্রীমান ভক্তি রক্ষক শ্রীধর দেব গোস্বামী মহারাজ কি জয়, জয় শ্রী শ্রী গুরু গৌরাঙ্গ গান্ধার বা গোবিন্দ সুন্দর জীব কি জয়, অয়ং বিষ্ণুপাদ শ্রী শ্রীল ভক্তি সিদ্ধান্ত সরস্বতী গোস্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়, ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমাঙ্গ শ্রী শ্রীল গৌরকিশোর দাস বাবাজী মহারাজ কি জয়, ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমাঙ্গ শ্রী শ্রীল সচ্চিদানন্দ ভক্তি বিনোদ ঠাকুর কি জয়, ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ বৈষ্ণব সার্বভৌম জগন্নাথ দাস বাবাজী মহারাজ কি জয়, শ্রী রূপানুগ গুরুবর্গ কি জয়, রূপ সনাতন ভট্ট রঘুনাথ শ্রীজীবী গোপাল ভট্ট দাস রঘুনাথ শ্রী ষড় গোস্বামী প্রভু কি জয়, প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি শ্রী গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয়, শ্রী চৈতন্য সারস্বত মঠ কি জয়, তদীয় শাখা মঠ সমূহ কি জয়, আকর মঠরা শ্রী চৈতন্য মঠ কি জয়, মায়াপুর যোগপীঠ কি জয়, গঙ্গা দেবী কি জয়, তুলসী দেবী কি জয়, ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়, গোপ গোপী গোবর্ধন মথুরা বৃন্দাবন রাধাকুণ্ড শ্যামকুণ্ড কালিন্দী যমুনাজি কি জয়, পুরুষোত্তম ধাম কি জয়, বলভদ্র সুভদ্রা জগন্নাথ দেবজীব কি জয়, স্বরূপ রামানন্দ হরিদাস আদি ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী নিতাই চৈতন্য দেব কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয়, সমাগত শ্রী গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, অস্ট্রেলিয়ান মিশন কি জয়, সমাগত শ্রী গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি জয়, হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়, ওম বিশ্ববাদ শ্রীল ভক্তি সুন্দর গোবিন্দ দেব গোস্বামী মহারাজের ওয়ার্ল্ড ট্যুর কি জয়, অ্যাপিয়ারেন্স ডে মহা ফেস্টিভাল কি জয়, হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়, নিতাই গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল,
কৃপা সিন্ধু পঠিতানং পাবনেভ্যো বৈষ্ণবেভ্যো নমো নমঃ। ক্যান টার্ন আপ ইফ ইউ লাইক, ইফ ইউ ওয়ান্ট টু ইউজ ইট অল, মাইট ওয়েল টার্ন ইট আপ, আদারওয়াইজ ইয়া মোর, মেক ইট স্ক্রিম হুইসল, দেন টার্ন ডাউন আফটার। Regular practicing life that's called sadhana, and the objective of that is called sadhya. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that all the Vedic knowledge can be divided into three departments called sambandha or relationship, avideya or the means, and prayojan, the end. The sadhana of the means of practice, method, needs to be a living thing. if it's belabored and repetitive and distasteful, then it won't be productive. I was discussing with one friend today. He said, what's the value of it if every day we have to do such a certain thing, but we don't feel appreciation for it? Some days we'll be doing that unwillingly and without any real enthusiasm. I also used to wonder sometimes, because of course it varies with everyone, but there's always the difficulty that as many that how long one can go on singing songs that one doesn't know what they mean. We've been given that if we chant Hari Nam and these prayers, even if we don't know what they mean, then they will give us the result. But our attitude will be cautious to have free from offense. 10 offenses to the holy name. And Srila Govinda Maharaj gave Hari Nam today. He spoke about 10 offenses. And that small book was compiled. The first offense to the holy name is to offend the sadhus or the devotees, because it's only through the devotees, through the devotee, through the Vaishnav, of whom the topmost is Gurudev, only through him or through them that we get receive this holy name. So the holy name is Krishna himself, Nanbhakpo Jai Mahananda Kijai. The holy name is Krishna himself. So Krishna loves his devotee who gives him to others in the form of his holy name. So if one disrespects the devotees, then Nama Prabhu, the name is called Nama Prabhu, like Lord name. Because the Lord and his name are one. The name Prabhu, Nama Prabhu, cannot tolerate that. Therefore the fruit of chanting the name, which is prema, love divine, will be unattainable. We will not receive that. We will not be gifted with that, granted that by the Lord from that obstacle. The second offense is to consider, the second one is divided into two parts. The first part is to consider the names of gods, such as Brahma, Shiva, etc., to be equal to or on the same level as chanting the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna's name. This has been misinterpreted in various ways, mainly due to zealotry, which is more rather bigotry than zealotry. For example, there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is quoted in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. That verse, it says, a person in whose mouth with faith the two syllables she and va, Shiva, have never come, they have no right to chant the name of Krishna. But without knowing, without having seen that verse, in the attempt to be exclusive devotees of Krishna, we find sometimes persons who are not well informed, they profess to chant the name but seem to abuse Lord Shiva or other gods. Actually, the word demigod is used often in our English. But the original word is devata or deva, and there's no demi there. So another way to express it is God without a capital G, whereupon it becomes gods. So capital G God cannot have an S on the end. It cannot be capital G gods, unless of course it comes at the beginning of a sentence. In this way we're trying our best to preach or to give in writing sometimes. But if we say demigods, sometimes we find persons are offended. And in fact, the word demi, which means half, half God, half gods, doesn't it? Demi means half, I think. Jai Shri Guru Garanga. Radha Giridhari Jyuki Jai. The word half doesn't appear there. It's only deva or devata. And Krishna is called Devadeva, or God of the gods, but capital G, God of the gods. In this way, although it's an offense to consider chanting their names to be one and the same as the name of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, at the same time, it's also an offense to abuse them in the name of being an exclusive devotee of Krishna. It's less known and less explained and less followed. And it's difficult at times to understand because we find verses that say the unalloyed devotees of the Lord won't accept prasadam from any god. They don't bow down to any god, etc. Maharaj was speaking about it the other day. Vyagrena Kardamanopi Nagochet Shiva Mandiram or something. Preached by the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Even if a tiger is coming to devour you, still, if the only place to hide from the tiger is a temple of Lord Shiva, don't go in that temple. But that's a mood. It's a mood of preaching. And that mood actually was not shown by Mahaprabhu, although it was by the Ramanuja sect or sampradaya. So because there's so much information, it's like the information revolution, as they coin it. When you have so much information, you need to still be able to single it down to the information you require and use it without becoming splayed in an ocean of information which is not required. So the same as pertains to our scriptures and to our Vaishnava history, modern or medieval or ancient, be as it may. And the second part of that offense will help to clarify that. The second part, which is synonymous yet it has its own distinct meaning, is we've got nama guna rupa lila. You know, we chant that madhurja lila guna rupa nam nam. So the Lord's name, qualities, form and pastimes, they're all equal. If they were not, they would not be eternal. So the Lord's name, quality, form, pastimes are all divine, absolute, and non-different from each other. If we differentiate, that's an offense. That's part of the same, it's part two of the same thing we're warned not to offend the Lord by considering the names of gods on the same level as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because in their case, that may be the fact. Lord Shiva is a very mysterious personality. If you see in the Brahma Samhita, you find that he is considered the Lord of all the jivas, yet he is not one of them. At the same time, he is also considered to be a particular, as the jivas are considered separated parts. He's also considered to be a separated part that's called Vibhinangsha, a separated part of the Lord who has been empowered with the Lord's own power. Therefore, he's also called Bhagawan. Jiva Goswami said, great personalities are called Bhagawan sometimes. Not only the Lord himself, but others, because they are very dear to the Lord. So Lord Shiva is also dear to the Lord. But what is offensive is to say that Krishna is God and there is another God that is Lord Shiva. That's offensive to Lord Krishna, and in another sense also offensive to Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava. He shows his form as a Vaishnava. Therefore he is a separated part of the Lord, but because he's so much endowed with the power of the Lord, he's also called Bhagawan. These subtle nuances, they're not just A, B, C, black and white. This is the position. And actually it's a good reason why the modern Hindu society is so confused. They say there are many gods. So in one sense they're right, in another sense if they don't specify the Supreme Lord, then they're also wrong. And that offense of considering the gods to be on the same level as the Supreme Lord, that may be apparent there. The third offense is to disobey the order Guru Avagya. It's been told that way, but Avagya means disrespect actually, or to disobey him, to disrespect him, to disregard him, to dishonor him, to avoid worshipping him actually. And that's done by considering him as a human, ordinary human being. That again is subtle because he plays with us like a human being. In Vrindavan, Krishna plays as a human being. And in this world, Gurudev plays as a human being. Of course, his work is not a plaything. But I mean play here in the respect of his activities, they're also considered Leela, the Paramahansa Guru. What he does when he's present in this world, when he appears as yesterday, the appearance day of Gurudev, that's called Avirbhav in Veda, in scripture. It's not called Janma, birth. Or if it is, then it's called Janma Divya, as with Krishna, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. It's divine. And all his activities, although it's shown to us, Jai Shri Giridhari, Giridhari Jiu Ki Jai. It's shown to us that he was born, then there was a time when he did not know his guru, then when he was a certain year of age, then he met his guru and got initiated, like everyone else. But we never consider him like everyone else. It's all taken as his pastimes in this world. His divine activities manifest to us for the purpose of giving us his grace. And he's considered Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect. Krishna also showed in his pastimes accepting a guru called Sandipani Muni. Still, he is the Supreme Lord. Krishna showed in Vrindavan there was Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras in Vrindavan and Mathura. There was worship of the gods. So everything in this world also is found in the Lord's pastimes, but with the touch of the Lord's divinity. But we cannot ascribe mundanity to his pastimes as they appear in this world. They don't appear in this world as something foreign to this world, yet they're always transcendental to this world. Because the Lord appears in a very simple way, in a human way, human-like way, according to Srila Guru Maharaj and Jiva Goswami and others, great acharyas. gives the humans a chance, an approach, feeling of sympathy towards his loving existence. And the same applies with Sri Gurudev. Having said that, if one would try to imitate those activities which we consider pastimes, then one would also lose the opportunity. One would lose it, the approach. And it would be Guru Avagya, or disregard, disrespect. And the fourth is to disrespect in the same way the holy scriptures are, such as Veda, Vedanta, Upanishad, Purana, history, itihas, etc. To consider them unworthy of our respect, etc. The disrespect can be mental and also it can be physical. In India, if you go on a bus and someone stands on your toe or just brushes their foot against you, they may be Hindu or Muslim, but 90% of the time if it happens, they'll immediately fold their hands in apology and maybe touch you and go like this. Touch your body and put their hands to their head. Oh, I have made an offense. But outside of India, if you give me your indulgence, you know how monkeys have hands on their hands, they also have hands on their feet. Their feet are also hands. So rather like the monkeys, unfortunate position, our feet, they may touch everywhere, but it doesn't make any difference. So if our foot will touch the Gita or the holy book, then we must feel trouble. Our chanting beads, if they touch our foot like that. I heard Srila Sridharmaraj say once, these offenses to the name, they don't, it's not that Tulsi Devi is affected by these offenses, but we are. It's our offenses. It's not that the name loses its potency or that Tulsi Devi loses her potency because we make offenses. They're always eternally perfect and full. But our approach to them is what causes our loss. And mentally, of course, to think, and those mental comes in the next. And the fifth and sixth offenses are to consider the glories of the name as exaggeration and to consider the glories of the, to give interpretation to the glories of the name or to the holy name. So those considerations are on a mental level rather than as has been given to us, elucidated by scriptures and our teacher. And seventh is to commit sin on the strength of chanting the holy name. It's called elephant's bath. That if an elephant bathes, everybody must have heard the example sometime or read, bathes in the river and again the elephant rolls in the dust. It's a kind of a drying process. He has no towel. So he rolls in the dust of the shore and then he is happy. But unfortunately, what he bathed off is now again all come back again. So if we chant but we commit some sin and then we think, oh, it's okay, after this sin, after enjoying, quote-unquote, this sin, then again I will chant and I'll be okay again. There's a time when we will actually injure ourselves. We will lose our faith because it's an offense. It's like taking out an insurance policy on God or something like that. But we're always his servant. He's always our master. The jiva souls, while they have identical nature with Lord, they also eternally, that is, he is spirit, we are spirit, they also have an eternal difference, and that is that he is always eternally, he is eternally master, and the jiva souls are eternally his servants. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, that their eternal difference is predominant, not their eternal sameness. And that is the difference, that is the distinction, that they are eternally, or we are eternally, His servants. And that service mood, for enhancing that, for encouraging us in that, we have been given, advised not to sin. In another place, in certain scripture, it's been told, in proclaiming the glories of the Vaishnava, the devotee, it's been said, what is dharma? What is religion? That the sins of the Vaishnava is religion. It is so vividly explained that whatever is done by the true devotee, that is religion. And anything else, however appealing it may be in this world, is irreligion, including their sins. But that's dangerous, of course. Those statements may be misused by would-be Vaishnava or ambitious persons who try to go out into the world taking Vaishnavism as a business commodity. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Still, the statements are made in the scripture. So in order to protect us against that evil or wicked mentality, we have been told to sin on the strength of the name, on the plea, or rather on the ploy, do you follow, of chanting the name. That's also dangerous and offensive. If it were that we were fully conscious of everything, then these offenses, there would have been no need for them to be elucidated to us. That implies, therefore, that our offensiveness may be unconscious. So to give us consciousness, therefore, they are elucidated in the Padma Purana and by the Guru when giving the name. That we may have the fruit of chanting the name, which is love of God, the prayojana, or the end, the goal. Then the eighth offense is dharmavrata, tyaga hutadi, samnam, harinama samnam, to consider any activities which are in the general sense religious activities. Some distinction has been given in the Gita, as you know. Give up all varieties of religiosity and surrender to me. This is a puzzle for many, of course. Krishna is teaching religion or spiritual life, and for 17 chapters, and at the end of the last chapter he says, give it all up. Everything I've told you, throw it out and just surrender to me. Because the surrender to him is the religion of the soul. And the others, which were given as religion, they were the progressive stages of that religion for those with external knowledge, external consciousness, who live in the plane of the body or the mind, not the plane of the soul. But now come to your own nature, your own dharma, your own intrinsic function, and that is divine service to the Lord. And that justifies this statement that everything done by the true Vaishnava, that is religion, in this way. These statements tend to go back on themselves. Therefore, they have to be taken with a feeling of proper perspective. They have to be taken with a pious mentality, a pious point of reference. That's why we are always warned against sinful activity in this world. Srila Govinda Maharaj explained it the other morning. These things in themselves are not intrinsic, not innate to service. But just as if we take a clean cloth, a clean dress, then that will help our mind to be clean. But clean cloth or clean dress or cleanly shaven, it's a similar thing. For a gentleman or something. But still, without those things, the heart or the internal loving tendency towards the Lord and the Vaishnava and Gurudev, that's really the final criterion, the ultimate. But at our stage, attention to the outside helps us and encourages us and also protects us. If we worship the deity, the Lord, but did not take a shower and odors are exuding from our body, it will be considered offensive. Just as if we go to our spiritual master and say, well, here's your lunch today, but we didn't brush our teeth or take a shower that day, and we may be suffering halitosis or something. It's going to put him off his tucker. Anyway, this is the position. It's like that. So we can accept, therefore, everything that will assist us and help us. And that's why devotees have been advised in all the scriptures. There is almost a jungle of scriptures, a jungle of instructions on first observation. Just as if we look over at Mount Warning, we see millions of trees. If we go a little closer, we see that there's some of them are camphor trees. Well, a lot of them are camphor trees. But some of them are eucalyptus or something, blue gum, and some of them are banana trees or whatever they may be. And if we also enter into that, maybe we'll find some snakes. Or if we look closer to the ground, worms, insects, and so on and so forth. So the scripture is appearing like a jungle from afar. But the closer perception will be to a true practitioner that what is favorable for my service, I must accept, embrace that. And